Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
It shows her truck on video, and then it shows she's like kind of walking towards her vehicle, but then she kind of veers off a little bit. She ends up going to his vehicle. I think she was going to leave him, and he wasn't having it. I think he knew. I think he was watching her.
On the morning of January 20th, 2017, 40-year-old Holly Cantrell drove to the McAllister Regional Health Center in McAllister, Oklahoma, where she worked as a physical therapy tech. Just a few minutes before noon, Holly clocked out for her lunch break. Only Holly would never return, and she was never seen again. That evening, her husband became concerned when she hadn't returned from her shift at the hospital, so he decided to take a ride over to see if he could find her. Her truck was parked in the hospital parking lot, but there was no sign of Holly. Over the past 18 months, there have been many twists and turns in Holly's case, and two people close to her remain persons of interest. But what happened to Holly on January 20th, 2017 remains a mystery. I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 135 of The Vanished, Holly Cantrell's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. Growing up, Holly was raised by her grandmother. She had a very close relationship with her cousin Charlie. They were like sisters. I spoke to Charlie for this episode, and she told me more about Holly.
She's always been with my grandma growing up. She's always known, you know, her mom and her sisters and her brothers and all that. Life went on, and Holly just, she was a grandma's girl. We were all kind of a little jealous, too, I guess, growing up, because she was always in the spotlight. She didn't really realize it, I guess, but she was always loving. I don't think there was ever a mean bone in her. I'm sure there was at times, you know, growing up. She was always like a good-hearted person. She always wanted to help people. I remember in high school and stuff, she wasn't like the popular crowd. She was still doing her thing. She was still shining. We grew up together because we lived next door. So we were all close. Me and Holly grew up the closest out of everybody. We were more like sisters, you know? Yeah, we were like bestest friends, I guess, growing up.
In 1999, Holly met her husband, Tommy. At the time, Holly was 23 and Tommy was 46.
There was a big age difference. And I remember her mentality, you know, like her, she was sheltered. She was really sheltered. And so she went from one marriage straight into the hands of this man. He was going to save her. And she was gullible, I guess, or I guess we all were at that time. Just she was naive, I guess, too.
When Holly and Tommy got together, she had a young son, Trenton, from her first marriage. And Tommy had three older children from previous relationships. Tommy was also raising his grandson, Michael. Tommy's daughter had Michael when she was just a teenager, and Tommy stepped in to raise him. When Holly and Tommy got married, she helped raise Michael and treated him as her own. Holly and Tommy had two more sons together, Zachary and Wesley. Holly was known to be a dedicated mother who loved spending her free time with her children and doing various outdoor activities, like hunting, fishing, and caring for the animals on their small farm.
Had maybe 30, 40 cows, and it was small. She had this thing with miniature donkeys, and at one time they had a goat farm that ended up being a bust. You know, it didn't work out.
Holly also had a job that she loved. She was working at the McAllister Regional Health Center as a physical therapy tech.
She loved her job. Yeah, she went to school. You know, when she was fresh out of high school, she went and got in college, lived in the dorms and did all that and was working towards that. And that's when she was with Travis, the first husband. She became a house mom and whatnot. And school got put on the back burner. Along the way, when she was with Tommy, she got back into school. But it was a slow process financially and whatnot. She put herself through schooling. She was working at a preschool to help get her to where she wanted to be. She wanted to be a physical therapist. She worked hard to get where she was, and she was proud of it. She was real proud that she made it that far. And she was going to continue. That's what she was working towards, and she was proud. You know, she loved her job. She loved it.
As far as anyone knows, January 20th, 2017 started off like any other ordinary day. Holly got the two younger boys off to school. They were 12 and 14 at the time, and then she headed off to work. She worked for several hours before clocking out to go to lunch just before noon. Holly never returned to work that day. Her husband became concerned when she didn't come home that evening. When he couldn't reach her by phone, he decided to go search for her. He drove to the hospital where he discovered Holly's truck in the parking lot, but no Holly.
Yeah, he had taken the boys with him to go look for, you know, their mom. And that's when they discovered her truck was there. And he said that they'd walked into the hospital and went to where her department was. But of course, it was closed down and all that by then. That part was. Couldn't find her. So he went to the police station.
Tommy first phoned the police, and then he went to the police station. He spoke to an officer, but they didn't open up an official missing persons case just yet. They wanted to wait 24 hours. Tommy went back to the hospital parking lot and gained access to Holly's truck with his spare key and drove it back home. According to Holly's family, Tommy had help from his daughter Charity and her husband to get Holly's truck back. Tommy has never reported that there was anything out of the ordinary in Holly's truck. Tommy called around to see if anyone had seen or heard from Holly, but didn't have any luck. The police were able to access video surveillance from the McAllister Regional Health Center. Holly clocked out for lunch, and they could see her on the video from the staff parking lot. She exited the building at 11:57 a.m. On the video, you can see her get into a green pickup truck that's driven by a man. This is where another man comes into the picture. His name is Cody Ketchum. After speaking to some of Holly's friends, police learned that things weren't so great in Holly's marriage, and that she'd been having an affair with Cody.
But the day of, from what I've gathered and what we've been able to research, she was going to go meet Cody Ketchum, who's been the point of interest so far. I guess she was going to clock out or going to go meet him for lunch, you know, and have their little whatever they did. I don't know what they did. They were having an affair. And then she was going to go back to work. And we've seen the video, and it shows her getting into the truck, but you can't visually, the video, you can't even the police, they cannot actually say that that's Cody. He says it's him. He did admit picking her up.
Cody claims that the last time he saw Holly was shortly after he'd picked her up from the hospital. He said that he dropped Holly off at a restaurant called Brahms, where she was going to have lunch with some friends. He was supposed to pick her up, but later texted her saying that he couldn't make it. She replied that she would just go back to work. Since she didn't have her own vehicle, no one is sure how she planned to return or who would have given her a ride. That's the last communication from Holly's phone. Holly's family has spoken to Cody, and he told them what happened that day.
He said that he didn't feel good. We got out of him. He told us a little bit different. he wasn't feeling well, but he told her, you know, he was in town anyways because he had to do some stuff for paycheck that Friday. So he said he picked her up. He drove through Taco Bell drive-through and got him a little something and then continued down the road because Taco Bell's on 69 also. Continued down to Brahms, which is one of the Brahms located on 69. And he dropped her off to never see her again. I've talked to him personally, and then my mom talked to him also over the phone. His story is sticking pretty much. He's sticking to the same story. There's a few little details where he might have mixed that we've noticed that has changed. But yeah, he said that he was in town. He had to go get his pay card, and he didn't really feel well, but he got a phone call from Holly. And he went and picked her up to go. I don't know if they were going to go eat lunch or if he was just going to be her ride. He went through Taco Bell, and that Taco Bell was later threw into the story by Cody. He dropped her off. Somewhere in that time, he got a phone call. I guess he has a son, was sick or something. And so he needed to go take him a change of clothes or something because he'd gotten sick at, I don't know if it was a school, like a daycare, or he had to go do that. He dropped her off, and he was, in fact, going to go and pick her back up, which is kind of odd, but that's the story he gave. He told me that he texted her, and it was a little bit later. She hadn't texted, and he was like, well, I guess there was an argument about, they had gotten to a little bit of an argument prior about Holly not going to the church revival weekend camp thing. So he thought that's maybe why she hadn't returned his text about picking, do you need a ride? And he said that a little bit later, he texted her and said, you know, I hope you're not mad at me. And then that's when he got a text saying no, that she's not mad, that she's going to try to figure it all out and get to go. Or she, because her husband, you know, didn't want her to go. It was okay that she'd found a ride. She was already on her way back to work. He said that was the last one he'd gotten from her.
Holly's family has wondered why Cody didn't know who she was allegedly going to meet. Isn't that something that you would ask? Cody had an explanation for that, though.
He just says no. He didn't question her because she got that at home, and that's not how their relationship was. He said that he doesn't know who he was dropping her off to meet. He just knows that he dropped her off, and he left.
Detectives tried to place Cody and Holly at the Brahms by pulling video surveillance.
There's no cameras that show her ever going to Brahms. Now, the way Brahms is set up, there's a Brahms and there's an ATM that's in the parking lot. Cody says he dropped her off in between the two, which would still be Brahms' parking lot. They said they looked at all the surrounding area cameras, even across the highway. Now, the detective told us he did, in fact, see Cody's truck from, there's a corner gas station right there. There's Brahms on the corner, because ATM, Brahms, and then there's like a street road, and then there's a really big gas station. And he says that he sees Cody's truck on that side road by Brahms. But it doesn't show him leaving Brahms. It just shows him coming down the road. So how he got to that road, I don't know who's in it. He says they can't even tell if Holly's in the truck with Cody, if anybody's in the truck with Cody, if it's even Cody driving, but it is that truck. It's all in that time frame, yes, of when she could have been out for lunch.
No one from Brahms remembers seeing Holly that day either. There was an early report in the media that someone did see her at Brahms, but that seems to be false, possibly a mix-up in the early confusion of the case. Although Cody has been cooperative with law enforcement, even voluntarily giving them access to his phone, his story about dropping her at Brahms that day has left a lot of suspicion. The police have stated that his phone records do support his story as far as they can tell. Holly's family has wondered about the Taco Bell. Cody said he stopped there before dropping Holly off at Brahms. They tried to see if they could get any proof of that.
I don't know for a fact. I do know that we we personally, when we found out, when he was like, well, I went by Taco Bell. I have a receipt. I have proof. Okay, well, we thought, well, anybody could have a receipt. You could go get one. So we personally went to Taco Bell. And this has been, you know, a little bit way after her disappearance. We personally spoke to the manager, who was actually still the manager, you know, from when the date she disappeared. And she said that she was going to try and get corporate and go back and look through the video. But she said that the police had never been there. And so she was like, she was just beside herself, just kind of like, wow, okay, let me see if I can't help you guys. But nothing ever came of it. She wasn't ever able to produce or get into the videos. I guess that's a pretty big deal, you know. But she did tell us that the police have never been there.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. There have been conflicting statements about what Holly had planned to do on the day that she disappeared. Apparently, Holly would sometimes take the afternoon off from work and spend time with Cody. One of Holly's coworkers claimed that she was planning to do just that on the day of her disappearance.
That's where there's a discrepancy. Apparently, she had many best friends, but like I said, she had that attitude. She just, people loved her. They were drawn to her. Come to find out, she's had so many best friends, and her best friend, that was her coworker, had said that she had stated to him that she was going to take off for the rest of the day. Since then, he's gone. He won't talk to nobody. He's gone quiet. I guess the police interviewed him once or twice in the beginning, and then after that, he just went silent.
But what Holly's boss had to say about her plans that afternoon was completely different.
Her younger sister, Alice, she, in fact, got a hold of Holly's boss herself. She said that Holly, you know, she did, in fact, she would take off sometimes, but she always let them know, you know, ahead of time, you know, hey, not to schedule me a patient or whatnot because, you know, I won't be coming back or whatever. And her boss told Alice that Holly was, in fact, coming back. She was going to lunch and coming back.
One thing that we can't be 100% sure about is if Holly's husband, Tommy, knew that she was having an affair with Cody. Her family found something in the initial police report that makes them suspect that he did know.
my cousin actually went and got a copy of the police report. All the stuff that we've been gathering has been, of course, you know, it's been 6 months or so after she disappeared, because that's when we realized the police weren't really doing anything that we felt was, you know, correct. It states that he went in there, and her husband states that Cody, that he would be another one to, I guess, to go look at or talk to. And how he would know that, I mean, I don't know. I guess it was everybody knew that they were having an affair, but for some reason on the report, Cody's name is there. He's mentioned by Tommy.
Although the McAllister police say that Cody has been cooperative, they still haven't been able to rule him out as a person of interest. Another person of interest in the case is her husband, Tommy. Charlie told me that the relationship between Holly and Tommy seemed promising at the start.
She met him, like I said, she was young and kind of naive and was out there in the world. Not alone, but, you know, just, I guess, overwhelmed. Somehow she'd gotten a job out there in Alderson, Oklahoma, which is not far from McAllister, working at like a sanitation trash dump site, and she was in the office, and that's how she had met Tommy, because he was a mechanic out there. And I remember her talking about him, you know, and he would bring roses, and he was secretly, you know, taking her out to lunch, because she was still kind of with her first husband. And then I eventually got to meet him, and he seemed really nice. He knew what he was doing. You know, he owned his home. He was taking care of his grandson. He worked. He just seemed to, and he was like whining and dining her. You know, he promised her like he would take her from that trash area, and he was going to get her a store. And then for a while she had her own store where she sold stuff, and he bought her a new home, and which later they lost.
Over time, Holly's family began to realize that Tommy wasn't the person that they thought he was. They began to see changes in Holly. They knew he was controlling, but they don't know the full extent of what happened behind closed doors.
He was very deceitful in what he portrayed to be. He was. As time went on, she started, she was pulling away from us, or being pulled away, shall I say. You know, and then that's when you could see there were signs there. There's definitely, there was some abuse going on. I don't know if it was physical or mental, but it was apparent, you know. Even her appearance started changing. Like, she went from, you know, trying to fix up and put her makeup on and, you know, do her hair, to her appearance just started even changing. Her attitude started changing. And when he was around, she was on eggshells. She would babysit for me sometimes, and I would have to hurry up and get my kids and leave before Tommy got there, so he wouldn't be mad, you know, that I was there.
This unhappiness in her marriage is what led her to have an affair with Cody.
I think she was searching for something, and I guess she found it in him and Cody.
There's another shocking twist to this story that was revealed during the investigation into Holly's disappearance. It appears that she was likely pregnant.
It hasn't been confirmed as far as like medically. Just the story went that, you know, she went to the health department and she was, in fact, it came back positive. This is according to her best friend that she worked with at the hospital, the one that's now went silent. He said that he's when I went with her, she was pregnant, but they had told her because of her age and her medication, because, you know, she had a lot of heart issues, that she has to have a medicine. She can't go without it. That she would need to go to an OBGYN and to get an ultrasound of some sort to actually say that, yeah, you are pregnant, because sometimes the medicine will produce a false positive. And that was on a Thursday or a Friday. And she was supposed to go that following week, and she never made it. That's when she went missing.
Holly had also confided in another friend about the pregnancy.
One of her other good friends that she used to work with at the school had, in fact, talked to Holly the night before and then a few nights prior. Apparently, she knew she was pregnant, too. She's like, well, here, you can look at all my messages. Or her and Holly are having conversation about her being pregnant and how she needed to go to the hospital to, in fact, I guess, to make 100% valid that, yes, you are pregnant.
Cody has said that Holly told him that she was pregnant. The two were making plans to move forward with their relationship. They had talked about getting a bigger house together and making a go at it as a family. Whether Tommy knew about the pregnancy or not, we can't be certain. We know that polygraphs are known to be inaccurate, and that's why they aren't admissible in court, but investigators have requested that both Tommy and Cody take polygraphs. Cody has cooperated fully and even let investigators come out to his home again recently. Holly's family was told that Cody passed some of the questions on the polygraph, but failed others. Investigators have not disclosed which questions he failed on. Cody also consented to have his truck searched, but investigators looked inside and didn't feel like further testing was necessary. Tommy, on the other hand, has yet to take a polygraph.
First it was, you know, because he was sick at one point. He was in the hospital fighting cancer and had to have surgery. And he beat it. That's the story publicly, but so that was the reason why he couldn't take it. But he has never taken one since then. And he's been able to go to, you know, out to eat and to auctions and stuff. So I don't see how that could affect him taking one. If he can do that, he can do that.
Holly's family has been suspicious of Tommy, and they pushed to get his property searched. But the initial detective didn't seem interested in pursuing him as a potential suspect.
The first detective, the one that was on the case at the very beginning, never even went out to their house. He never even thought that was Tommy was somebody to suspect. I guess, even though from the very beginning, all of us have told him numerous times, you've got to look into him, but they wouldn't listen to us.
Little circumstantial things have happened since Holly disappeared, things that make her family suspicious. The day after she disappeared, her cell phone service was shut off and never turned back on. They question why her husband wouldn't have her phone turned back on since she's missing. What if she was somewhere in need of help and got the chance to make a call?
Her phone was suspended for non-payment, is what we were told. So we haven't been able to actually validate, like, it was actually suspended from non-payment or if it was just suspended by someone going in and doing it. We were leaning to maybe it was deactivated because of non-payment, because that same day, I guess, or whenever her phone went down, all of their phones went down because they all got brand new phones and numbers. Why didn't they just go pay it? I mean, if you have the money to go buy phones and do all that, why don't you just go pay the old one?
Charlie and one of Holly's sisters, Alice, got the money together themselves to have Holly's phone turned back on. Holly's stepdaughter, Charity, initially was willing to go along with this idea, but then communications stopped.
Me and her got together and we had $500. We said, here, we will give you $500. Just go and turn her phone back on. Go pay it. And that's when Charity was like, well, let me see if Preston, the detective, will allow me to do that. And she called back. She's like, he said it's not a problem. I said, well, tell me, what time do you want to meet me in town tomorrow? She never returned a phone call. We kept blowing her up, blowing her up, blowing her up. Nothing. They didn't want us to go. We had the money to go do that. And they would never tell us at that point where to go, what company to go to, what time to meet us. We would have won ourselves. They just went mum on it after that. When we told them we had the money in hand, let's go, everything changed on the whole phone thing. That was kind of odd.
Tommy's daughter Charity comes up a lot in this story, and that's because, according to Holly's family, Charity and Holly never got along. Charity is older than Holly, and as I mentioned, when Holly married Tommy, she helped raise Charity's son, Michael. Holly's family is suspicious of some of her statements and actions since Holly disappeared.
The older stepdaughter. Them two never liked each other. Never did. I'm sure they got along, you know, at face, sure they had some Christmases or whatnot that they had to tolerate each other. But I remember from the very, very beginning, Holly did not like Charity, did not like her.
On February 25th, 2017, just a month after Holly had disappeared, a hunter found a purse in a wooded area near Lake Eufaula. This purse belonged to Holly Cantrell. When they found the purse, it had her ID, medications, and other belongings, and there was paperwork about pregnancy near the bag.
When her purse was found out there, there is paperwork in it. I have pictures of all that. And on the paperwork, it states, you could see, I mean, it's plain as day where it says second trimester. Since then, I think the police have even announced publicly that she was in fact pregnant. Yeah, everything was in the purse, with the purse, except her cell phone.
The condition of Holly's purse and the paperwork has led to some suspicion. If it had been out in the elements since she disappeared more than a month earlier, her family thought that it should have shown more wear.
But the paperwork was, like, perfect. There was no water smudges or nothing. It was just, like, looked like it was just freshly printed. We have pictures of the purse. We actually got pictures from the police department, and this purse looks, I want to say it's like, look, that plastic leather look. It looks shiny. You can see where it's perfect. It doesn't look weathered. Yeah, this purse looks brand new. The police have even told us, you know, they think it was a setup. It was placed there purposely. What they've done to try to establish whether that's true or not, I don't know. They said they weren't able to test it for fingerprints because of the type of leather it was and due to its weathering. That was a big issue for us due to the weathering of the purse. The purse looks brand new. I can't wait for you to see the picture of it.
One frustration for the family has been that the police returned the purse to Holly's husband. They were told the purse couldn't be tested, but we've seen so many advances in technology over the years. New testing techniques have emerged that solved cases that had previously been considered cold. They wondered why the purse wasn't held onto as a piece of evidence. Maybe they couldn't do anything with it in 2017, but who knows where technology will be in the coming years. When they pressed for answers as to why the purse wasn't held onto as evidence, the detective reminded the family that they know what they're doing.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I was thrilled to learn that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I now have several items from Quince. I love their cardigans, pants, and shirts. I find their pieces to be easy to mix and match, and also to dress up or dress down. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/vanished for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/vanished to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/vanished. There are rumors in every missing persons case. Holly's family has been frustrated by a rumor going around, a rumor that has been pulling attention away from the facts of the case. It's been stated in the media that Holly and Tommy had an argument before her disappearance, an argument over Tommy's will, that he had been planning to leave everything to his grandson, Charity's son, Michael. But this rumor is misleading.
That was a total freaking rumor, and that's how easy it is to get people to start going astray. There was an argument the night before at the auction between Holly and all of them. There was never an issue over a will. It was all false. Tommy may have had a will at some point in time. According to Michael, he was going to get everything, him and the boys. Everything was in Holly's name since learned. Because it's all public record. You just got to know where to dig. And if there was a will, it wouldn't have mattered because he got all that land through his father, who didn't leave it to him because of supposedly his gambling problems. Everything was in Holly's name. Everything. The only way possible that they would have any rights to any of that is if she wasn't in the picture.
There was yet another strange twist in this case. A local woman, Luann Woolley, wanted to help Holly's family. She started poking around and asking questions. She secretly recorded some people allegedly talking about Holly's murder inside of a local home.
She was at a house. There were some people there, and they were all talking about Holly's murder. It's hard to make out. We have the whole tape. We have it, even the whole tape. She went to the police, I guess, and had told them about this. Hey, I've been through this house. And the detectives dismissed it, said they couldn't understand it. My mom said, well, can't you get FBI or something? I mean, they have all that technology. They could sort through the distortion and whatnot. Nothing ever came of it.
The police didn't take this lead seriously, and they discounted Luann. But Holly's family didn't feel the same way. They felt as though the police were treating her like she was crazy. Around this time, Luann was contacting Holly's family, stating that she was concerned for her safety. And then, Luann was found hanging in her barn. Her death was ruled a suicide, but Luann's concerns for her safety prior to her death have led to many questions.
She was like an angel. I don't think she was a suicide. I really don't. We have texts from her. It's screenshots, and she's sending text to my cousin, Holly's other younger sister. And she's saying, hey, you know, there's some shit going on here. I'm kind of scared for my life. If something's to happen, I want to let you know. You know, I'm scared. Something bad has happened. We have texts where she's texting us saying, hey, I don't know who's talking, but what I'm telling you guys is leaking out. I'm being ran off the road. I don't think she committed suicide, and I think that they didn't take her seriously due to the fact that she did have a history of some mental illness because she had lost a daughter, you know, I think to cancer. She may have had some issues, but she was not crazy to the point where she was just being delusional, making shit up.
Since the police discounted Luann, this lead wasn't really pursued. According to Holly's family, they learned that the house was known for drug activity.
I think he went to the neighbor's house and asked if they knew about any drug activity. We call it the red house because it was painted red. That's pretty much what he did.
It remains unclear if anyone inside that house actually had knowledge of what happened to Holly, or if people were just talking, possibly repeating rumors. But for Holly's family, they still feel like she was treated unfairly, and they fear that she was silenced because she was looking for answers. Just shy of 13 months after Holly's disappearance, a hunter made a startling discovery not far from where Holly's purse had been found a year earlier.
Another hunter, you know, had found human remains. About a year later is when the bones were discovered. And it's all within a 2-mile radius, the purse and the bones. And it's by Lake Cardinal Point. It's public land. Small game hunters like rabbits and stuff, they're able to go out there because it's public.
After the hunter discovered bones, Holly's family went back out to the area and found more themselves.
me and my two cousins, which is Holly's younger brother and sister, we went out there. And I don't know why we did. We just went out. We weren't really looking for anything, just maybe mental. I don't know what we were doing, but we went out there and we found bones. They said they were animal bones. And then we found some more bones that same day. And they kept saying they were animal bones. And we work with the search and rescue team. And so we were sending pictures to them. And he was like, no, no. He says, those are not animals. So within 3 days, he had a crew. And he had her name's Angela, who's out of the city. She's a medical examiner. And she came out there as a favor. We had a big search deal. And some of the bones we did find were deer bones. But the rib bones, they were human. And that's when we found the, I don't know how they do what they do, but they, you know, they map it and they could like kind of predict it. We found the point of interest pretty much of where like the main body would be. And that is where we found more bones and we found a bunch of green scrub that was just shredded to pieces. And then we found bones. Like I found two of the lumbars, I think. Not far from there. We had to dig in like rat holes and skunk holes and stuff where the animals had scavengered, you know, and would carry it. I've seen how fast it could happen. Like when we were out there, you know, when we had pictures of, there was three rib bones. Within three, I think it was 2 or 3 days when we had the search and rescue come back out there. It was a private search that wasn't like, you know, a big group. When we came back, there was only two rib bones. So within 2 or 3 days, an animal had done scurried off one of them. I mean, if we're coming up with human bones, and apparently you guys should get your asses out there in the law should. I don't understand that.
Holly's family is currently waiting for the results of the testing to find out if the bones that were recovered do in fact belong to Holly. Even though they can't be certain, they're convinced that they've found her.
We're still waiting. They sent them to Texas, and then with the green scrubs, because that's what she was wearing when she went missing. We have been to the detective's office. When the bones were discovered, I was on my way home from work, and Alice, she called me hysterical. She's like, have you heard, you know, what's going on? I'm like, no. I said, I just got off work. She said, get on Facebook and go to you'll see it, and you got to punch on it, and it's like a news site or something. And that's when, you know, the whole bone thing had came to light. And so when that happened, of course, you know, my family, we were frantic and we started calling. And we did get in to see the detective in person. But he had told numerous family members, he said he cannot make an official statement that is in fact Holly. He says, but off record, he says, I'm going to tell you, he said, it's 99.9% that it's her. But without the proper documentation, he can't make, you know, he just can't make that official statement. And then when we were able to get into his office, which was just, it was me and her younger brother and sister and her brother's wife. He told us, he said, he says, they know it's Holly. They know it's her, but they can't make that next step until they have that proper documentation, which is what we're waiting on.
Charlie explained to me where the remains were found in relation to where Holly was last seen.
It's probably within a 5-mile drive going north. The location, if you don't have a boat, like when we go out there, it's a good 2-hour hike. I mean, it's not like you're hiking up mountains and rocks, but it's swampy and it's really tall grass and it's open field and then it'll hit woods and then it'll open field again and then it's woods. It's like a 4-mile walk. We clocked it every time we go and it's an average 2-hour walk unless you can get there by boat. Or four-wheeler or something.
If the area where the remains were found is that difficult to get to on foot, it does make you think that it's much more likely that whoever left the body there got to that location by boat. But Charlie explained that looking for someone with a boat doesn't really narrow things down.
See, that's the thing. Everybody around these parts has a boat. You probably have a boat before you have a car. And we've tried to, like, try to connect, you know, like, who's leaving with a boat and who's coming with a boat and who was seen that day.
Even though it's likely that they found her, that doesn't solve this case. There are still so many unanswered questions. Why would someone have harmed Holly? Was it because of the affair? Or was it because of the pregnancy? Or both? One of these questions is if Tommy was even aware of Holly's pregnancy. Cody says that he knew. Holly's family believes that Tommy did know because of some statements that both Charity and Tommy made early on. According to Holly's family, Charity sent messages saying that Holly was pregnant and high risk, so she was calling around to hospitals. But after the media got involved, the story seemed to change. Did Holly tell Tommy that she was pregnant? If she didn't tell him herself, how would he have known? Could he have read her messages? Had he seen the papers about pregnancy that were later found with her purse? Holly's family has uncovered a possible connection, that one of Holly's friends may have been passing information along.
Supposedly, her really good friend that she worked with at the school, who was still, like I said, one of her best friends, supposedly going back and telling Tommy all kinds of stuff. She was playing Holly. I don't know how accurate that is, if it could be validated, but, I mean, that would show where, you know, he might be getting inside info.
We know that both Cody and Tommy remain persons of interest in this case. Those close to Holly have gone back and forth, not knowing who or what to believe. Charlie told me that she personally feels more inclined to believe Cody.
I don't think Cody had anything to do with it. But then there's days, you know, well, Tommy had a lady that from a search and rescue team that we've now became a part of actually reach out to him and talk to him. And she's met him in person herself and trying to, you know, so you're willing to actually, because you're going to go down for this. This is on you now. The police are not looking at anybody but you. And he just still sticks to his story. He won't budge. So either he's really good or he's really, really didn't do nothing. I mean, I understand he's the last person seen with her, but what would be his motive? What's his motive? They try to portray that, you know, him and his wife, you know, he was having an affair, Holly was pregnant, maybe don't want the wife. Him and his wife have been separated for over 7 years. They haven't been together in years. She has a girlfriend, and they both have had their relationships with other people, serious or not serious. They're not together. They haven't been together. It's not like he was with his wife and he didn't want her to know about this love affair. It's nothing like that. That's a big factor to take in because, you know, they made it seem like that. Well, that could be his motive. So there goes that motive.
Charlie believes that the seriousness of the affair and the pregnancy very well could have been motive to make her disappear.
Personally, I think this is not the first time that she has had an affair. She had other ones. I think, though, that this one wasn't just a passing through kind of thing. I think it was more serious. Everybody knew that. The whole town knew it. Well, they would try to keep it secretive, but it wasn't a secret. Everybody knew. Here's his wife, this young, pretty girl, who's fixing to flaunt this baby. How can you hide a pregnancy? It seems like she was fixing to make a move. She was going to leave him, Tommy. That's what we gathered. And his type of person, you know, you ain't leaving. You ain't going nowhere. You're mine. You know, I'll kill you before you leave. You know, kind of. We have letters from his ex-wife. It matches like the same MO, you know, it's just everything's the same. I think she was going to leave him and he wasn't having it. You know, how dare you get knocked up and make me look like a laughing stock and whatnot. I think he was watching her.
Holly was also close to Cody's mom, and text messages between the two have revealed what appears to be Holly making attempts to split from her husband.
I do know that we have some text. It's between Cody's mom and Holly. Pam is saying, don't worry, Holly. Everything's going to be okay. just make sure you have everything lined out so that they can't come and take anything from you guys. And then Holly's like, yeah, I know this. I'm working on it right now. And then she's like, ha ha, the stepdaughter's already trying to pull a move. And then Pam's like, well, don't worry, Cody. Cody's here. And it goes into how, you know, he's going to help her. And she says she's getting everything lined out, you know, worked out. They're not coming in and going to take anything from her and the boys.
Cody has since moved on and has a new woman in his life. Holly's family contacted her to see if she knew anything, but that was a dead end.
We've even recently contacted, which turned out to not be nothing of use or anything good, but we recently reached out to he has a new girlfriend now. She says, I don't want to go against Cody. She says that he's got enough of that. She says, but I can tell you that he loves Holly, that he does talk about her. He loved her. He still loves her. So I don't know. And for a current girlfriend to say that, I mean, it takes a lot to even say something like that. And she seemed genuine in what she was telling me. And she just said that if we had any questions, that she would, you know, please contact him. She didn't want to be part of, you know, she didn't want to be pitted against him. And I respected that. I left it at that, you know.
While Tommy and Cody have cooperated with the police, they haven't actively helped to search for Holly. Charlie asked Cody why he never stepped up to help.
At first, we didn't reach out to him. And then as time was going by, we just started reaching out to any and every, you know, desperately. This is what he told me. He said that he didn't reach out because he was the oddball guy. He was the one that was the homewrecker. He was the one that was being pointed fingers at. He said he loved Holly. The reason he didn't reach out is because he felt as if he was causing more problems because he was, like I said, he was the one that was breaking up the family.
Tommy has never offered an explanation as to why he hasn't looked for his wife.
No, never. Never reached out like that. Has never been to any of the searches. He's never done nothing like that. He hasn't done anything. Not a damn thing. He's kind of hidden.
As far as searching Tommy's property, the police didn't seem interested at first.
It wasn't until we got a new detective that actually they went out to his property. But since the new detective took over, he did in fact go out there, which is a year later. He told us that Tommy did in fact give him permission to search his land. And this is after the bones were found.
This case has so many mysteries within other mysteries. You can start going down different rabbit holes, and then you realize that you're basing your theories on statements from those who remain persons of interest in the case. It leaves you questioning what to believe. One fact that we do know is that Cody picked Holly up that day. We know this because not only did he admit to it, he's also on camera. Some have questioned why he picked her up. Why didn't she just drive herself?
People say, well, why didn't she take her truck to Brom? And I don't know how accurate it is, but supposedly, you know, he's that type that he clocked her mileage. He knew how much gas was in the truck, how much it took to get to and from. He was like that. I just think everything was coming to a head. And with this pregnancy, there was no, you know, if you pretend like it don't exist, you know, then it don't exist. There was no, it's here, it's happening, it's in your face.
Sadly, at this point, Holly's family has been cut off from seeing her two younger sons who are still with Tommy. Charlie did have contact with them until Holly's story aired on a national television show.
When this all first started happening, we all kind of band together, but we kept Tommy at bay. You know, there was a reason for our madness. But then when shit started coming out in the open, he cut everybody off from our side of the family. For some reason, I've always been the one that he's always let in, even back in the day, you know. And then since that show aired, I have been the one that was kind of the middle person for the family, you know. I got to go out to the house a couple times before the detective told us not to go out there anymore. I don't know why. He advised us not to go out there. So we stopped. But I had phone calls with them and, you know, like video chat and talk to Tommy. And then after the show aired, he completely, we don't know nothing. We don't get to talk to him, nothing. I seen Wesley once at the gas station after the show, which is her youngest. He walked up to me and he hugged me and it was nice. But then some of Tommy's people were there with him and you could see that he was really uncomfortable. So I just slipped in my number, you know, and we said, I loved you. And I left it alone because you could tell that he was torn. You know, he didn't know what to do. And I didn't want him to feel that. So.
Even after they found the bones several months ago, Holly's family and a private investigator have continued to hike out to the area to keep looking. At the end of June, they were out there with a metal detector and found a ring and a shell casing where the bones had been recovered. Thinking these items could be related, they began frantically calling the police to come retrieve them. No one called them back or ever came out to get them. The private investigator carefully bagged the items while documenting everything. The detective has not been interested in these items. They showed Tommy a photo of the ring, and he said that he didn't recognize it. It looks like a common wedding band. They also stated that the shell casing could have just been from a hunter. But what if it wasn't? For Holly's family, they worry that this evidence could be important, even if the remains don't belong to Holly. These items could be important to another case. They also wonder if the ring could have been left behind by a person who helped dispose of the body. It's very likely that the remains that were recovered earlier this year belonged to Holly. But even though they may have found her, that only solves one part of the mystery. If it is Holly, what happened to her, and how did she get out to that remote area? This case is one that you can go over and over in your mind 100 times and still have a hard time coming to a conclusion about what may have happened. Since there are 2 persons of interest, you can take each bit of information and put it on one side or the other, but there are still so many unanswered questions. When you hear this story about Cody dropping her off at Brahms to meet friends for lunch, these friends that no one was ever able to identify, and the fact that no one saw her there, it just doesn't add up. But what if Cody is telling the truth and he did drop her off at Brahms? What happened next? Did she just never go inside and wasn't seen on any cameras? Holly's family suspects that her husband knows more, but how would she have gotten from this alleged Brahms meeting to being with Tommy? Tommy's alibi for that day is that he was home alone. It's like there's a big piece of this puzzle missing. Could she have been meeting some unknown person that no one's discovered yet? Could she have possibly gotten into a car with that person before going into the Brahms? Was she set up that day with some kind of fake arranged meeting? Hopefully those remains can be identified soon and answer at least one of the many lingering questions. Holly's family, especially her children, deserve answers and justice. If you have any information about the disappearance of Holly Cantrell, please call the McAllister Police Department at 918-423-1212. If you'd like to follow Holly's case on social media, you can join Hope for Holly on Facebook. That brings us to the end of episode 135. I'd like to thank Charlie for sharing Holly's story with us. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to contact me, there's a page and a discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at TheVanishedPod and also on Instagram. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wondery.com, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support The Vanished? There's a couple things that you can do. One way to help is by supporting our sponsors. You can find the links and promo codes mentioned in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey. I will be taking next week off. I'm getting one more weekend with the family before the summer ends. I'll be back the following week with a case from Nebraska. Thanks for listening.
That's what we're working on, is trying to maybe see if there's something that somebody didn't look at or overlooked. I don't really know how far the investigators have gotten, because I know they can't disclose everything. But we're doing our own, because so far they have, from what we've seen, or we could tell it, like they really botched the case.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.